Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from and pay respects to elders past and present. It's great to have your company today on Let's Talk. And joining me is the newest team member to AAA Murray Country, Stevie Kanagi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And welcome to the station, I should say.
Oh, it's what a joy to be with you guys. I'm totally pumped. Such a cool crew and, like, awesome. AAA's, for what it stands for, is, like, it's real deadly.
No, thank you. As is custom, can we start with your mob and your country, please?
Yes. So my mob is the Mananjali Noonuccal mob. So from Mananjali, the Bow Desert region, and which is my grandmother's side. Grandfather's side, and then Noonuccal is my grandmother.
Too deadly. No, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
You've joined us, as I said, the newest member of the team here. You only missed out by a week too because you would have been with us out at CMC.
You know what? I saw that and I was like, oh, my timing was off. What a time to be a part of the station. But it looked awesome and I can't wait for March when it comes back around again. So I'll be there, boots on and all.
Deadly. What is your role here at AAA?
Yes. So I've been extremely fortunate to be given the responsibility to take the lead on as a head of content and production. So really important role. I think it's to be able to work with the teams and the shows to really engage and have that conversation every day with our people is really important. So I'll be overlooking everything that comes out of the airways in the sense of content. So I think it's a really important role. I'm not taking it lightly. I take it very seriously, but I'm so pumped to get behind it and, like, get it moving. So, yeah.
When we're going to be working very closely together, yes, because my role will be music. And it was a role that was all together, music, content, production. Yeah. It was all together. You know, we've sort of expanded, we've grown to a point where no one person could sort of undertake all of that.
Gosh.
And to, you know, to find someone like yourself to, when we were thinking about the role, I was like, I don't even know if this person exists, but you do exist and you landed in our lap, and I couldn't be more thrilled to have you assisting with this, as you say, very, very important role. Working closely with our team, so Brekkie Drive and all of our other programs, including Let's Talk. So, look, it's a real thrill, and you're going to hit the ground running. You started yesterday.
Yep, I did. I started, and I'm, like, sitting here going, this station, I've been following it as a pure listener, and it's grown and it's growing strength to strength. So you guys are doing an amazing job. I think my job is just to come in and just, like, help. Elevating it.
And, you know, that is, like I said, that's where we're at. We've sort of expanded past the point of being just a traditional radio station. Mm. We're a multimedia organisation, online, video, you know, all the training. So it's important to have someone like yourself.
Yeah.
Your background, tell us about your media background.
Yeah, so I was 20 years old when I stumbled across the media industry, and that was first in a role at Channel 7 Townsville. I initially thought I was just stepping into a reception role where I'd be answering phone calls and posting mail and all that kind of stuff. But
it's usually where you start.
I know, right? And little did I know that I'd be introduced to this whole world. And so I was essentially like the traffic coordinator. So I used to fax all the bookings down to Sunshine Coast where the traffic team was.
Can you explain traffic for us?
Yeah,
for the
listeners out there, the traffic is not literally out on the roads. It's where they log up all the commercials that we get bombarded with every single day. So I would be responsible with sending out, literally faxing down our booking schedules for local businesses to get their commercials on air. So where I kind of stepped into it. And then I stepped into commercial production within Channel 7, and then moved over to the marketing side of things, and that's where I really start to gain a solid interest in the industry and the power of brands and how they connect with a local community. So I kind of started there. That was 5 years at Channel 7, and then I jumped over to, it would have had a different name then, Southern Cross. It's Southern Cross Austereo now, and they combine TV radio. So that's where I started. I kind of ditched TV a bit because radio to me seemed a lot more fun.
Real.
Yeah. It's like it is like in the time. So I loved that. I love how fast-paced it is. You can literally jump on air and deliver a message to the community as it's happening. So my interest then really shifted to radio. And then I moved my career around a bit. So I was in Townsville, and then I moved down to the Gold Coast. I was still in radio down in Gold Coast. That was a lot of fun. Gold Coast at the time was booming. There was so much money happening, and so that was lots of fun. And then I had to move up to Cairns, and Cairns was the opposite. It was financially depressed. So yeah. it was really to work in the industry at the peak of an economy boost to a low one was a great learning lesson for me. And so I was in Cairns for 7 years building and working in the promotions team, and it was a stack of fun. And the thing with me is that the industry I always loved. I never thought I was working because it's just one of those things. You just get caught up in the pace of it all. And I think at the end of the day, it's that connection to community that I love is when you're out and you see how your listeners respond to a brand when you're out there and they're listening. And that's what I love about radio. So I kind of decided at the beginning of this year, I moved down to Brisbane with my family, my two children, 5 years ago from Cairns, and that was great. So I got to work on a metro scale, very different to regional radio.
How so?
Bigger budgets, bigger brand. You're working not just within that local community, you're working all over Australia. So, you know, I would work on brand campaigns in Ballarat to Brisbane kind of thing. I was all over the country. Mm. So I got a really nice understanding of the scale of a network. That was really great. But I think my time in Brisbane, what I learned the most is that engagement piece and like the audience, what your audience actually doing out there. So that was a lot of fun. But then I lost my mojo. And I was like, ugh, I've lost my mojo. For an industry that I woke up every day and I loved, I just lost that fire in my belly. And I thought, I need to kind of step away from this and maybe look at something new. So I tapped into a passion project of mine that I've been really, really, really passionate about. And that's working with our mob and particularly artists and building brand profile with them. So I kind of set up my own little business, Ochre Strokes, and have been ticking away with that, working, collaborating with some like really deadly artists out there and just getting their brands built up.
That's awesome. Mm. Who are some of the artists that you've been working with?
So I've been in contact, been collaborating with Harold Bowen.
Yep.
So he was one of my like all-time favourite artists, and he was one of the first ones I reached out saying, hey, I've got this idea. Do you think there's a need for it? And he said, oh, there is such a need, like, because we're creators, right? We create, we know how to create, but we don't know how to do all the other business marketing side of things, and, marketing yeah, socials, and all of that. Yeah. That's what kind of gave me that, I guess, the confidence to take that leap of faith. And So I did that off the back of that conversation and another conversation with Arts Queensland going, if this is a business I was to set up, do you think there's a need? There's lots of funding out there for First Nation artists. So I strongly encourage anyone out there like just to tap into those opportunities because it's expanding and it's really growing there. And then I was really lucky. I picked up a contract with the Regional Arts Service Network and in a mentoring capacity. So I just have artists that get sent through to me, David Bosson, up in the Torres Straits, like just really solid and different art forms as well. So it's been great. And then I guess I got the call up to have a look at this role, and here I am being dramatic, going, I'm leaving the industry, and I left for 2 seconds.
Starting a business, and then you get drawn back in.
And I know, Karen, I'll come back. But I've come back because it's everything I like, what radio to me is, and it was a no-brainer, so yeah.
We're certainly happy to have you on board. If you're just joining us, Stevie Kanagi, the newest member to the AAA family, is with us on Let's Talk, and we're getting to know her a little bit. Being a, you know, a woman in media, and particularly a black woman in media, you know, have you found it hard to navigate the system?
Yeah, I found it very challenging. Limiting for myself. I almost had like a bit of a identity crisis, I guess, because it was when you work within these mainstream media networks, it's, you know, there's not many of us. The representations is very limited. So I was always challenged by that, and almost would challenge the networks to where's the representation of our people, even on the airways, like where are our artists and why are they not getting played on the songs, that, like the list and everything like that, because it's what a perfect platform to educate Australia on our culture through song. I think it's such a powerful way and really simple too, right? Like you look at all the artists that we've got out there and they don't get a play on air or they have to do a collaboration with a mainstream artist to get that play on air. So I found it challenging, particularly right at the end. I kind of, you know, you just navigate your way through it and you just almost... And it goes against everything that we're now about. You almost just shut up and put your head down kind of thing, and you do what you got to do. It's an income. It's a job. If I was to go back in that time, I probably would have pushed the status quo a bit more just to, you know, shake it up a bit and really go to the top and ask the questions like why are we only making noise when the rest of the world is making noise, like, and I refer to that with Black Lives Matter. It's the only time that those networks really went on about it, and then it's dead air on the topics. So I think it was frustrating. It was frustrating. I always wanted to be that one to kind of lead the way and the challenge the conversation there, and I would still love to challenge that conversation. But when there's not many of you, it's a real small kind of it. Yeah, you kind of feel a bit defeated in that sense. Yeah,
I think country music's gone leaps and bounds in the last 5 years. Only had to look at CMC over the weekend. Not only the representation on stage, but in the crowd, like so many mob from all over. You know, we met more from WA, we met mob from, you know, Central Desert, right around. And on stage as well, you know, Blanco Brown, Breland, Jimmy Allen, Kane Brown, you know.
Yeah.
It was incredible to see. And, you know, told me that 5 years ago that we'd have all these black men, country performers on stage. I would have told you were dreaming.
Yeah. And it fascinates me. Like even, you know, AAA had such a big presence at Big Sound as well this year. And that, just seeing the artists that coming through, and I'm like, well, there is a really big representation. And when you think about it, like music is such a critical way for us to tell story, right? It's, you know, it's a healing thing or whatever it is, but you've got these young ones coming through and they're doing it in such a in a really clever way that they're commercialized. You hear them and you're like, you could be playing on these mainstream platforms, but they're just not. It's just the uptake on the other end isn't quite there. So
why is there no appetite for supporting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander music?
I asked that question myself. It blows my mind that we can have other bilingual languages on air, like a Spanish, or you know, you listen to Despacito or whatever it is, but we can't have our own traditional language. Yeah. And I just think it is really kind of disappointing. But such a simple simple solution, right? When you look at it, you just think, there's so many, it's not just Baker Boy, there's so many artists out there that are, you know, singing in language and really honing up the culture and the stories and connection to land and all of that, and it could easily be played out on those mainstream.
Well, I did hear a Thelma Plum song played on a mainstream radio station. I'm not going to name the one, but I think you might have worked there.
Mm. And good on her.
They did this great big G up. You know, she's First Nations, she's talented, she's this, that, and the other. And here is Thelma Plume. And I just went, oh, God, you didn't even bother to
get her name.
Come on. What is wrong with you, mate?
Yeah, and I think she's great. I think if we have more artists like her, and there is, we definitely have a lot of artists out there, for them to be paving this way. I think it's really important, more important now than because it just sets the tone and the conversation of those important issues that we need to be addressing.
Yeah, but back to CMC Rocks. I want to give a shout out to Brother Ron Hooper. He's a Cooma man and currently living over in Ipswich there, and he was the artist who made the clapsticks for us to present to the international artists. And his Instagram, if you want to follow him, is RH Didgeridoos and Artifacts. Ron's, of course, a former AFL player as well for the Brisbane Lions. But to see those performers like Breland get up there and play them on stage, you know, they're educating.
Exactly.
Black men from a different country, mm-hmm. they're coming here and educating these majority white fellows here in the audience.
Yeah, and that was beautiful to see. It was really like, because, you know, those clapsticks, that's almost like it was for them to embrace that and really hold on to that and respect that. I think that was really powerful. Yeah, and nice, like, what a way for us to have that association with those artists as a gift for them to take away.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stilly.
It was so respectful, that exchange, you know, and I guess it was an honour for them to be receiving it, but it was an honour for us to be, you know, bestowing that upon them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was such a nice touch. So was that your idea?
No, I can't take credit for it, unfortunately. shout out to the big boss, Jai Lawton, and Ryan himself. Yeah, no, it was too deadly. You've only been here a couple of days. There's a lot to take in. You feeling all right?
I feel good. I'm the kind of girl that can, like, hit the ground running. One of my superpowers is I can actually run in heels, so I'm good, I reckon.
I want to see it.
You'll see it one day.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm going to wrap this one up a bit early. As you can tell, my voice is a little bit raspy. I think I've done about 350,000 interviews in the last week or so.
You've been working it.
But look, once again, welcome to the AAA family. We're so happy to have you on board, Stevie.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's our show for today. You've been listening to Let's Talk on AAA Murray Country.